that wedding song that is playing that just happened to play. That is how great our God is. Right? And it's a sign, right? God says signs. How beautiful is that, right? So this is, like Jerry said, this is a kind of an extenuation of what we were talking about last time, a couple weeks ago, on accountability, self-accountability, okay? And so I had the privilege also to meet with a couple people after giving that message who took some big steps in being accountable. And there is nothing more satisfying to me to hear that somebody actually listened to something and not only listened to it and liked it, but acted on it. And it took some major boldness for a couple of these situations to own up to what was going on in their lives and some of the things that they were holding back. Amazing. Really amazing. So you guys all know who you are, so thank you for doing that. Also, after the last message, Bill and Mary kind of came up and they said, you know what, we'd like you to go through Psalm 51 in the entirety, right? So we did some of it, the first six verses, and they said, well, but maybe you could go through the whole thing. And so I went home and I prayed about it, and the Lord told me that that's the way we should go. We should go and continue. That this is such an important topic about accountability, self-accountability, and we're having such a trouble as a nation, as people, we're having trouble with this. We struggle with this. And so the Lord told me that we're going to repeat some things that we talked about, and then we're going to clarify some things, and we're going to expand on the topics of self-accountability. And so we're going to continue that. So let's recap some things first. Before I do that, I just thought too, like Melinda was saying, when she was saying about some of the things that she was mentioning, sadness and confusion and depression sometimes those just come naturally, that does happen naturally, but sometimes it's because we're not dealing with things that we're meant to deal with. And the side effect, the consequence to not dealing with that stuff shows up as that stuff. So that's how important this topic is. It's an important topic because the Lord wants us to get this right. It's very important to Him, but it also benefits us, right? If we can clean some of this stuff. And it's a hard road to do that, but we have to have confidence in the Lord that He's going to get us through it and it's the right thing, right? So that's something else I'll here. Alright. So we spent a lot of time reading and discussing the part of David's life when he made some selfish decisions and made some major sins. Now let me tell you this too. Just because those are what we consider major sins, we also do a lot of sins which we don't think is very much sins. They might be like little sins, but the Lord sees them as sins, right? So it doesn't matter how big, like murder, and then something else like lying to your neighbor, okay? Sin is sin, and He doesn't like any of them, right? He doesn't like any of them. That's the facts, okay? So there is no standard of sin. Right? There is no standard of sin. You can't say, well, I'm not going to be accountable because that was just a little sin. But if I do something really bad in the eyes of people, then I should be accountable. That's not the case. You have to be accountable for every sin. Right? Okay. So David, in this part of his life, he gave in the temptation and slept with Bathsheba, who became pregnant, and instead of being accountable and owning up to his actions, he decides to devise a way to have Uriah her husband killed by putting him in the front lines of the battle. It was a devised plan, which she knew was going to happen, which would put him at a much greater risk, right? Sure enough, David's plan worked, and Uriah was killed. And David felt like he was free then to marry Bathsheba, and no one would know what he did on both accounts. That was his thought process. That's what he was doing. He wasn't being accountable. He wanted to hide something. He devised the plan, and then he worked the plan out, thinking to his benefit. And sometimes God lets consequences happen to us that he could have intervened. Right? So sometimes God will intervene and get us out of some consequences. He might save our life sometimes. Sometimes he'll save us from some hurt, right? But at times, when we're doing things where we're not accountable, he may pull away a little bit and let us suffer those consequences, right? That can happen. God can do what he wants. He's sovereign. He can pull away and say, hey, listen, our relationship right now is not that good, right? You're a little bit more distant. I'm going to help you course correct. I'm going to bring you back on path, and I'm going to let you go through some consequences to bring you back on path, right? And other times, and this is the part that we don't like to hear, and I think I didn't have a chance to listen to John's message yet, but I do know the topic was on God's wrath. Other times, God actually causes the consequence to happen to us, right? So God gets fed up over time. He gets tired of repeating himself over and over to us, and occasionally he will cause the consequence to happen in order to correct something, get us back on course. And sometimes, those consequences are not very good at all. And we see that with David later on. So I know he said that John had said that he thought, when he talked about God's wrath, was controversial with some of people's ideas and stuff like that. But it's not controversial. It's pretty straightforward. You can read it in the Bible. It's not that controversial. So, people don't like to hear that about God because he is a loving God. He is a loving God. But the truth is he's a jealous God. And he wants us to be faithful to him. And when we're not like that, that bothers him. It bothers him. And we all do it. And we all do it, right? All right. Here's a quick little note that God points out all the blessings he gave to David before David chose to sin, right? So he said, listen, I protected you from Saul, right? I made you king. Look at what I'm doing for you. And then you choose to sin against me. And how many of us have done that same thing? Right here. Right here. Right? Have we been blessed? Living in this country, we've all been blessed. We've all been blessed. We don't suffer like other countries do. We have more freedoms than other countries do. That's why we're fighting so hard to keep those freedoms. Right? These are important things to understand. How many of us have chosen sin despite all of God's blessings he has poured on us? If we are honest with ourselves, there are lots of times we use excuses or say things like, well, that was just a small sin and nobody's perfect, right? And we kind of using those words. I've done that many a times. We don't even pay attention, never mind admitting that we were wrong, trying to correct it or confessing it, taking no accountability. Please recognize that even though we face these consequences for not living up to God's standards, we can still be redeemed and forgiven through Christ, and our salvation is secure. Right? Our salvation is secure. We can be forgiven, even though we have to face these consequences. We then see the Lord use Nathan by sending him to David to show David that he may have fooled people, but he did not fool God. Right? We talked about that. And at that point, David finally, after Nathan comes to him and says, hey, you are that person, which he gave a little story about, right, about wrongdoing. And he points out, David, you're that person. Now, David wanted to murder that person. But he was that person. Right? And we can get mixed up in our minds like that, right? We can be doing things that are wrong and see somebody else doing the same thing and call them out and not even recognize that we're doing the same thing. How crazy is that? But it happens. But it happens. And so, finally, David recognizes his sins were seen by God and then decides to be accountable at that moment. And then we went to 1 Samuel 12:13, and there's his confession, right? So David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. So not only are we sinning against a person, doing wrong by a person, we're sinning against the Lord. And Nathan said to David, the Lord also has put away your sin. You shall not die. Wow. And there, right at that moment, is the redemption and forgiveness, because David took action, confessed his sin, and was accountable. Right? There's some redemption there. But there's still a consequence coming. There's still a consequence coming. And it's not a nice one. It's one we like to look over in the Bible, right? And the consequence he ends up facing later on is that child that Bathsheba was pregnant with ends up dying. And we hate to hear that. Tyler said to me, she says, why the child? Right? Doesn't our heart say that? Why the child? Wouldn't it be more just to take David out and let the child grow up? Right? And that's what we have to understand too, is that our misdoing sometimes affects other people. Other people. And that should put a little bit more burden, a little bit more responsibility on us not to do those type of things, right? I mean, I don't know why God chose to take the baby instead, you know? And I mean, we could come up with all kinds of different ideas, you know? But he's a sovereign God, and he has a plan, and he knows what he's doing, right? We also know that children get a direct pass, right? So they're not going to go to hell. That baby didn't go to hell. So who knows, you know? But anyways, those are difficult struggles that we have to face. But the truth is that was a consequence. And the Lord stated it. Your child is going to die. Whew. And that's That's the fear of the Lord. And the fear of the Lord does what? Gives us wisdom, right? Gives us wisdom. Makes us think a little bit more, hopefully. And all that led us to Psalm 51, which David wrote as a demonstration of accountability. It's a psalm of confession, repentance, and begging for God's forgiveness. Begging for God's forgiveness. We read verses 1 through 6 and stopped. Today we will revisit those verses and go through the rest of Psalm 51. But before we do that, there's some things the Lord wants us to make sure we fully understand. Who sets the standard of how we are to act? Who sets that? The Lord. God, right? God sets the standard, right? He's sovereign. He sets the standard. He made everything, including you and me. He made us act a certain way and created qualities in us for us to run the most efficiently as we were designed to be. He knows if we follow the standards that he set, then we run the most efficiently, right? He created it. Now, I watched a show back a few years ago where they were taking cars and they were converting them into boats. And it was fascinating. It was cool. It was neat, right? And I was intrigued by it and stuff. And like, will these things float? And will they run? Yeah, and a lot of them did. A few of them sank. But a lot of them floated. And they actually moved on the water. But they didn't run efficiently. They did not run like a boat. They didn't. A boat would have done circles around those cars, turned into boats. Why? Because they were never intended to be a boat. They were intended to be a car. Right? And so that's the Lord, right? The Lord intended us to run a certain way. We're not run to be a boat if we were made to be a car. And if we were made to be a car, the other way around. Whatever that was. So we're made a particular way to run efficiently, following the standards. And when we don't follow the standards, guess what? We end up with depression, and we end up with anger, and we end up with sickness, and we end up with a confused mind. Right? Because we're not running efficiently. So God sets the standard. And we're meant to act as the standard. And we know we're going to fall short. That's why he sent Jesus. But that doesn't mean we stop pursuing doing that. Right? We should be always trying to be better. A little bit better than yesterday. A little bit better. The goal is to be a lot better, but sometimes it's little steps. But God sets the standard. Now, who convicts us when we sin? The Holy Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit convicts us. He's indwelled in us. So when we do something outside of the standard, all of a sudden we get a little prick. And he brings it to light oftentimes. Right? So the Holy Spirit is the one that convicts. Now, who intercedes for us when we sin? That's Jesus, right? So Jesus, and how did he get to that point? He died for our sins. He replaced us. All our wrongdoings were placed on him, and he absorbed it all and died because of that. Right? So Jesus died for our sin. Right? So you can see God, three in one, all have like little roles within that 3-in-1, right? And they all know what each other is thinking and doing all the time. They set it up. They know, they knew the past, they know now, and they know the future. Amazing, right?
Yeah.
It's mind-boggling. How does that happen? Because we cannot do that. It's amazing. So that's why we have a hard time wrapping our heads around it. Because we see how we act, right? But that isn't how God acts, right? We're in the image of God, but we are not God. So then becomes the question of, and I think people struggle with this, what is our role in all this? Right? What is our role in all this? So the Holy Spirit convicts us and tells us we are not acting according to God's standards, that we have sinned. Right? He tells us, you messed up. I messed up. And we are to be accountable to God and to everyone else involved in that sin by confessing and owning up to our wrongdoing. That's our role. That's our role. God does almost everything. But we still have a role. We still have a role. We have to make the decision. Am I going to own up to this or am I not? God doesn't force us to own up to it. He convicts us. But our choice is to own up to it or not. Right? We're not puppets. He's not making us. He didn't make us sin. Right? We chose to sin. Right? He's not making us be accountable. We're choosing to be accountable. Then we also have an action here where we can pray to God to give us the strength to stop and turn away from our sin. That's called repentance. Where does our strength come from? Not ourselves. It comes from the Lord. Because we are not strong enough. We aren't. I'm not. I am so weak when it comes to temptation. It has to come from the Lord. And that's the Lord's sovereignty, right? He is a sovereign God. But we have a role within that sovereignty. God is involved in every step, but we have a role in the process. Surrendering, confessing, praying, forgiving are some of these actions that we choose to do or not do. And God is not going to make us do those things. That's where free will comes in. Right? So we have to understand all this stuff to really get a good picture of how this all works together, right? This is the design that the Lord made. And this is the roles of every person in this, including ours. Does that make sense? Everybody following so far? Anybody disagree? Okay. Alright. Now let's go through Psalm 51 and in its entirety. So Psalm 51, what? This is David, right? It's a confession. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to your multitude of your tender mercies. What's happening there? David is explaining to us God's character, right? Their qualities of God at that moment. Right? He's saying right here, your loving kindness, is God loving? then he says, but what about my transgressions? Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, right? I acknowledge my transgressions. David has to do that. He has to acknowledge his transgressions. Without acknowledgement, how can you confess? You can't. You've got to acknowledge. And my sin is always before me. He struggles like everyone else struggles. That next sin is waiting for us. It's before us. It's like a snare. That's what the Bible describes it as, right? It's a snare, it's a trap. Just waiting for us to walk into it. My sin is always before me. Against who? Against the Lord, you. You alone, I have sinned and done this evil in your sight. Right? Not the evil according to man, evil according to God. Those are two very, these days, very different things. Very different. So right at that moment, all those lines there that we just read are his accountability for wrongdoing, right? He's owning up to it. He knows he's a sinner. He's confessing he's a sinner. He's confessing that he did a sin, and it was bad in the eyes of the Lord. That you may be found just when you speak, and blameless when you judge. And right there, he's showing God's authority. Right? God is the perfect judge. He set the standard, so he knows the standard. And he knows when we're not following the standard. Not according to man, according to his rules. We gotta understand. We get confused. We've been told lies our whole lives. And since the day we were born, Satan was after us, trying to pull us away all the time, nonstop. Right? But thank God we found him. Thank God for Jesus. Right? By God's authority. He's the judge. He determines stuff. He allows things to happen to us, and he also causes things to happen to us. Right? He's the authority. We can close our eyes and we pretend he's not the authority, but it's still gonna happen. Even with your eyes closed. My eyes closed. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. His original sin. We were born into sin. Right? There was only one person who wasn't. We're all sinners. That's what that line is saying. No matter how perfect we think we are, we're sinners. We cannot live up to the standard God has. Behold, you desire truth. God desires truth. Are you getting a lot of truth in the world right now? Not God's truth. You're getting some person's truth, but you're not getting God's truth a lot of times. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts. And in the hidden part, what's the hidden part? The sins we are not acknowledging, we're not owning up to, we're not being accountable, will make me to know wisdom. And wisdom comes from who? God. If we're pursuing it, world's wisdom is not God's wisdom. You see the theme here? There's two different things going on in this world. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, I shall be whiter than snow. Confession leads to God's forgiveness. If we want to be whiter than snow, if we want to be cleansed, it has to go through confession. To God. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. And then here, this makes me think of God's grace. And His grace and His forgiveness is what brings joy to us, right? The bones that you have broken may rejoice, right? We face some stuff. He's given us consequences, but we're going to rejoice in that. We're going to rejoice in that because He is a graceful, forgiving God. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, right? So who's doing this right now? Who's doing that stuff? To us. The Lord is doing that stuff. The Lord is doing that stuff to us, right? And renew a steadfast spirit within me. We can't do that for ourselves. A lot of us think we can. We can't. The Lord does that stuff to us, for us. So we should keep moving forward. And how does this happen? Again, by Jesus' sacrifice. That's how that happens. Connecting with Jesus. Understanding what He did for us. Accepting that. Believing that. That's how that happens. So how does that happen? To have a clean heart and renewed steadfast spirit. It's always having your eyes fixed on Jesus. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. He's pleading with God to maintain a relationship with Him at that moment, right? He's begging God, like, don't take your Spirit from me. Have you ever been there where you've done things over and over again, and you think, like, that's it, God's given up on me? I've had those moments where I felt like that. Like, how can the God keep loving me when I keep doing these things? But He does. But He does. I don't ever want to lose that relationship. If we lose that relationship, we lose everything. In my eyes, we don't. Right? I lose that relationship with them, huh? I just don't even know. You know, like up here, you know, like, there's a heavy burden for me to say truthful things. Because I don't ever want to take something from God that ain't true. I don't ever want to mess up any relationship with them. And I do things that warrant that. But we have such a loving, caring God, a God that created us, that wants us to be connected all the time. And that same forgiveness, we're meant to have with each other. Maintaining relationships. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me to your generous spirit. Salvation is a gift from God. Who saves us? Jesus saves us. We don't save ourselves. Jesus saves us. Do we have a role? Yeah, we have to accept them. But who did the work? Jesus did the work. We didn't do anything. It's a gift. Restore me the joy of your salvation. We should always be focused on that. The salvation he gives us should give us enough courage to keep taking the next step the next day. No matter what we're going through. Then I will teach transgressors